We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, Jimmy, for a very special guest, one who has been with us before.
Yeah, Hudson Mason. He is a former Georgia quarterback. He also will be the color analyst for the Tennessee Tech game on SEC Network Plus. Hudson, how are you?
Jimmy and John, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Well, fantastic. Thank you for joining us. I know you've done a lot of film study. Give me your takeaways on what you've seen of quarterbacks. First, at Tennessee, Joe Milton, and then Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Joe. Man, when you think of the prototypical quarterback that, you know, you would love to kind of create or even draft at the next level, Joe's got all the intangibles, man. I mean, the ball just pops off his arm. 6'5", big kid, athletic. You know, I mean, I'm not saying anything that Tennessee fans don't already know about. But obviously the big question mark is, can he take that next step as a pocket passer? And, you know, some of the missed throws, overthrows last week, I know, irritated his coach. And you know, mostly as a competitor, they irritate you. And so, you know, not for sure yet. We'll meet with the coaches tomorrow. Not for sure yet if he's going to play tomorrow. But, you know, I think just as a quarterback, you know, when you think about overthrowing the ball, you know, you can think about your emotions getting the best of you and you know, being a little tense and stuff like that. But I think, you know, the cardinal sin, as we were always taught at the quarterback position, is overthrowing a good, big-time elite wide receiver that's got speed. So I think for Joe, it's just about learning to develop an off-speed pitch, kind of like a pitcher in Major League Baseball that just has a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, you got to develop a two-ball and a three-ball with some touch and tempo. And then, you know, for Hendon Hooker, man, what he came in and did last week was really impressive. Obviously, extremely athletic with his legs. I love what Josh Heupel does in the run game with the spacing formationally, and especially as Tennessee has struggled to run the ball, really getting the quarterbacks involved in the run game gives them some extra numbers and a smart play calling. For Hendon, it's just about taking care of the football. You know, the quickest way to spend more time on the sideline is you know, throwing interceptions and turning the ball over. So if he can limit those, you know, it'll create quite the topic of conversation about who should start the rest of the season.
Did you ever run a hurry-up offense?
I did in high school, actually. So I ran a version of this in high school, and so it's very fun to play in. You know, I think one of the things, obviously there's a lot of question marks of, you know, will Josh Heupel succeed in the SEC, and can this type of system work in the SEC? You know, time will tell on all that, but I think from a recruiting standpoint, guys, like, the pitch and the angle is, where else can you go in the country as a quarterback or a skill position player and lead the country in receiving, be top five in passing in the country, and also play in the best conference in America? I mean, that's what the draw would be to me if I'm a quarterback or, you know, a five-star receiver or something like that. So, and then, you know, throw in the tradition that Tennessee football is. So, you know, I'm excited to see Josh Heupel grow. I called a couple games of his at UCF, and, you know, this is a fun, up-tempo, fast-paced offense, and, you know, if you're one of the better players in the country, there's a huge draw to come play in a system like this.
When you were in high school and ran the hurry-up, what was the biggest challenge? Was it reading the defense? Was it getting on the same page with your receivers? Was it getting everybody lined up? What were the biggest challenges?
You know, I think the biggest challenge from a quarterback standpoint is you're going so fast that sometimes you don't get to really see what the secondary is doing, right? I mean, a lot of your reads and stuff is predicated on, is it one high safety? Is it two high safety? If it's two high safety, is it quarters to the field or is it cover two to the field? And so when you're pushing tempo, you know, you need to be more simplistic than if you're a team that is a little bit more methodical and huddles. You know, you can do some of the motions and stuff like that. I think with tempo, you're always worried about getting to the line of scrimmage, getting huddled. And as a quarterback, you know, you always want to kind of find the answers or connect the dots before the ball is snapped so you can put your eyes in the right place post-snap. And I think that's just the biggest challenge as a quarterback when you're playing that fast and the ball snapping on average every 10 seconds. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I think one of the questions I'm eager to ask Coach Heupel tomorrow is, you know, with some of the quarterback questions and some of the depth problems, given the lack of scholarships and players that are injured, has he given it any consideration of maybe slowing the tempo down just a tad to kind of, you know, protect his depth and protect his players a bit. My gut tells me no, but I still think it's still an interesting question that I would like to kind of hear him talk about.
Hudson, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for that. Going back to Joe Milton, when you have a quarterback that's trying to connect on the deep ball, especially when you're talking about early in a game, how much of, well, for lack of a better word, a problem is it for that quarterback that is so amped up that he might just be missing on everything? He's putting too much into a throw.
Yeah, I think for him it's literally just ingraining in his head that the worst thing you can do is overthrow the receiver. And I think young guys are taught growing up from peewee to middle school to high school, oh, show off your big arm. It's, you know, never underthrow a quarterback, always overthrow a quarterback. That couldn't be more wrong. You know, the cardinal sin is at the quarterback position is not giving your receiver a chance at all to make the play on the ball. So throwing the ball out of bounds, or in, you know, Joe's case last week, overthrowing a couple wide open receivers. So I think it's for him, it's just continuing to develop as a spot passer, meaning getting on the same page with your receivers, whether it's a post route or a go route, knowing where that spot is, that sweet spot. If it's a go route, you know, it's about 32 to 35 yards down the field, you know, a couple yards over the right shoulder or outside shoulder, depending on what side of the field you're on for that receiver. If it's a post route, you know, typically you want to keep the guy on the move, so you're throwing him across the field. You know, typically you're thrown to a spot like the opposite goalpost. So I think it's just developing that, the chemistry with that, and then just continuing to understand as a quarterback to break that habit that I need to pull a little bit off the deep balls. And you see so many times in college football and the pros now where quarterbacks just give their guys a chance to go up and make the play, and they either catch the ball or, worst thing, most of the time they're drawing PI penalties. A lot of these DBs get so grabby and, you know, they panic at the last second that you draw a penalty.
What is it like? We've seen Tennessee perhaps having to go through that, and I'm talking about perhaps starting somebody that wasn't their starter for the first two games in game three. We've seen Texas A&M in that boat. We see Georgia already having to have started two different quarterbacks already in this short season. What is that meeting room like when you go from being the guy that's one snap away to the next week perhaps being the guy?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've got my PhD in that. I can attest to that when Aaron Murray all those years was playing high-level football and then towards ACL, you know, it's tough. It's challenging. Look, you know, one quarterback plays, that's an obvious statement, but that's what makes it different from every other position is the fact that, you know, you're putting in all the reps. You're putting in time preparing during the week, but you don't really necessarily get a guaranteed, you don't reap that harvest on Saturdays like some of the other players do. So it can be challenging to stay mentally engaged throughout the week. But I think in a time where you've got COVID and the unpredictability of your starting quarterback, you know, not only getting hurt on the field, but maybe testing positive for COVID, I think it's smart in general and just this world we're living in with COVID to have, you know, two quarterbacks at least that have experience. So, you know, I know some people look at it through the lens as, you know, this is a quarterback competition and, you know, will this guy start and will this guy play next week against Florida? You know, I guess the silver lining is worst-case scenario, you've got two guys that are really getting valuable experience, you know, and hopefully the prognosis on Joe is that he's, you know, ready and able to play if they need him on Saturday, if not next week versus Florida.
Our guest, Hudson Mason, he's former Georgia quarterback, color analyst for the Tennessee Tech game. I do want to ask you this. I think Pitt has a pretty good team, so my question is, if Tennessee had played a clean game, or if they play a clean game, do you think they have a chance to be pretty good? Because they had 13 penalties, 3-0 turnover ratio differential. They missed open receivers. If Tennessee plays a clean game, can Tennessee be pretty good?
Yeah, they can. I think, look, you know, when you're talking about expectations for the Vols this year, I mean, you guys got a better beat on the fan base than me, but I think reasonable expectations are try to get to a bowl game. So we're talking about 6 or 7 wins. You know, and so, yeah, you know, obviously that's a factor into winning games. And if you're going to try to get to that threshold of bowl eligibility, Tennessee's got to clean up the penalties. I think they're averaging about 88, 89 yards a game right now. So that's absolutely a factor. You think about last week, several holding calls. One time they get inside the red zone and, you know, they have a couple just dumb penalties. You know, Cade Mays goes up and hits a Pittsburgh player way after the play's over, and you're just kind of looking at that going, you know, what are you doing? You know, I mean, that's just so self-inflicted. So, you know, if they can get those things cleaned up, you know, no doubt. I mean, they're already a good team. It's just a matter of when you play other good teams, the margin for error just becomes so slim.
All right, I got a question about Georgia, and I know it's early sample size, but this is Georgia's best defense since when?
I would say since maybe last year or the year before.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because these defenses that Kirby Smart is putting on the field the past couple years, I mean, the numbers really speak for themselves. They've been top five, if not number one, 2 years in a row in rush defense. I think it was 2 years ago they didn't give up a single rushing touchdown in the regular season. Maybe they gave up one. I think the bigger question around Georgia right now is just can they establish a modern offense that, you know, can score points and go punch for punch with some of the best offenses in college football. But, yeah, this, you know, I was talking to an NFL scout last week, and, you know, he was basically just telling me that he got a text from a Green Bay Packers scout that was saying after he watched the Clemson-Georgia game that, man, just send the Senior Bowl bus and the draft bus to Athens and pick up, you know, eight or nine guys. I mean, Adam Anderson, I think, is extremely underrated. A lot of guys talk about the best pass rusher in the country being Thibodeau out of Oregon. I think Adam Anderson has a little bit more bend in him, not as quite as stiff in the ankles, as, in my opinion, as Thibodeau out of Oregon. So they've got a plethora of guys. Nolan Smith, the former number one overall player in the entire country in the class of 2019. There is a lot of depth and a lot of cool bells and whistles, so to speak, to play with for Kirby Smart.
Hudson, do you have a thought on what we might see between Alabama and Florida?
Yeah, you know, I kind of struggle after the Miami game, especially after seeing Miami struggle with App State. You know, I walked away from that Alabama Miami game going, man, this Alabama team is legit again, and there's no doubt they're good, and they're really good. I think what I'm still trying to figure out is this Alabama team as good as they were last year? And I think that's still obviously to be determined. You know, their young quarterback Bryce Young goes on the road for his first big start, and you never really know what you're going to get from young quarterbacks on the road in the Southeastern Conference. I think Alabama definitely wins. I don't think Florida's defense can get any worse than what they were last year under Todd Grantham. So in that regard, I think you're going to see a more competitive defense. But they've obviously got question marks at the quarterback position as well for the Gators of whether they're going to go with Emory Jones or this Richardson kid. So, you know, I like Alabama. There's no doubt in the game. It's just a matter of by how much.
Hey, Hudson, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Great insight. And look forward to seeing you at the game this Saturday.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Hudson Mason, former Georgia quarterback, will be the color analyst for the SEC Network Plus for the Tennessee-Tennessee Tech game Saturday at noon.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.